What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Help! I have too many women, and I have trouble dealing with my internal organs. All this and more on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Welcome to Bropostles, the only comedy podcast where leisure is the basis of culture. And Blood Meridian is the great American novel. And Dune is worse than Lord of the Rings. And I also don't like how Denis Villeneuve changed the character of Chani in the films. And I also think that C.S. Lewis's The Space Trilogy was more prescient than we might have believed. Has anyone read That Hideous Strength?
All right, that's all the literary fiction takes. I'm Patrick. That's all the literary fiction takes you need to be a Catholic
to
online.
Just be online in the right wing space. Does anyone else think that Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead was actually a pretty good read?
I never read it.
Me neither.
I do think it was predictable that Chani was changed for the movie. I also think that when it comes to film, book Chani would not have been as compelling.
No, because she was a one note character. She loved Paul.
If you're gonna have like big shot Hollywood actress play a character, you can't have her be that one dimensional.
Yeah. I also don't think, I think people's criticism is unfounded because they say, oh, well, they needed to have an audience stand in so that the director could tell you that Paul is a bad guy. I don't actually think that Denis Villeneuve thinks Paul is a bad guy. I think the Harkonnens are very clearly evil.
Yes.
And the Fremen very clearly needed someone to take them off of this godforsaken planet and go do a jihad. And so I don't think that Denis is trying to get you to think, oh, Paul bad the whole time. I just think for the sake of the film, if there's no narrative tension, and I think it could have been done better, but if it's just like the Fremen the whole time are like, yes, you are the guy fulfilling the prophecy. We are ready to lead you. And then the only conflict is Paul not wanting it. That makes him look weak. But if there's like a whole contingent of people that are like, you're not the real guy, then it's like somewhat of a sympathetic position for the character to take. So it's in terms of like the structure of the movie, it makes sense that there would be like a sect that of people, like they split it between the North and the South.
Yeah.
It's like the Northerners are less suspicious and the Southerners are the extremists. It's like, you can kind of see where they're coming from, but nobody has that level of nuance when it comes to film criticism on Right Wing X. They're just like Zendaya ugly, Zendaya bad.
Yes, we did not like KC Undercover or Shake It Up, and we hate her. Yeah,
KC Undercover.
Yeah, that's the other Zendaya Disney Channel original series.
I remember watching on Disney Channel when I was growing up a show called Euphoria. It's a little bit different than the other Disney shows I remember watching.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
I know what was going on with that one. I've never seen Euphoria, so I can't make any further references. I genuinely don't know what happens in the show.
From what I understand, it's like if Degrassi was worse.
Which rapper did they put in a wheelchair this time?
Kendrick Lamar plays
Kendrick Lamar in a wheelchair. He would be insufferable, bro. He's already so annoying, but then he'd be making jokes like, you know what I mean? I don't want any part of it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Would you like to answer some questions?
No.
It's good to see you.
No, I don't want to answer any questions. I want to do this forever. And I want my kids to go to sleep. They're both screaming, and my poor wife is dealing with them.
Wow,
I'm over here.
You tapped out.
Well, I didn't tap out because I knew if I kept waiting, then it would be far too late by the time the podcast started. Because that kid's not going to bed. you know, no. It's probably gonna be till 8:30. So it's like, I can't start the podcast at 8:30. So we got to do the bonus show.
I cannot believe that we got Josie down at the time that we did. That was,
it should be, they should have some type of ethical gas that you can don't laugh. Like, I think you should be able to gas your kids and make them fall asleep, but it should be like
healthy gas.
Healthy gas.
Yes, no seed oils in the gas.
Yeah.
Non-GMO gas.
No noxious fumes that affect their brain chemistry or brain development.
Knock them out.
Just some happy time. Ooh, and then off
happy
you go.
Gas.
See you in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? And I think you should, and I think the government should deliver canisters of it to our doorstep as soon as a baby is born.
If you don't agree with us, you're not pro-life.
If you don't agree with us, then you hate mothers.
Yeah.
And dads who want to get a full night of sleep.
And podcast.
And podcasts.
And dads who have podcasts.
And dad who has a podcast.
I do want to talk more about Dune and film.
Dune.
And the cinematography of Zendaya. But
I like it when it goes. That's what I like when it does that in Dune.
I like when Paul says the titular line of Dune.
Dune.
No. When he talks about Hitler.
Oh. I like it when he yells at Christopher Walken, "Your feet!" It's my favorite part of the whole movie.
The online discourse surrounding Dune 3 has recovered some of my favorite parts of the Dune. You have to read Dune. You really have to read Dune.
I gave Dune to my friends. Funny. Some friends were over the day that the trailer came out and they hadn't read it. So I was like, you got to take this book. You got to read it this week.
You'll understand why they took some liberties. You'll understand.
Well, I think Dune's great.
I want to be like Genghis Khan. He killed 4 million. Impressive for the time. There was once a dictator named Hitler. Hitler.
It is funny. This is like a trope across like all 20th century science fiction where they will like refer back to the great atrocities, or they'll talk about like the planetary destruction of the 21st century, or, you know, they'll reference people like Hitler or Stalin as mere footnotes, you know, for what was to come. And it's like, these guys couldn't help that. They really thought they were at the worst part of history ever.
Yeah.
Like, they thought that like the 1960s, 1950s, like that was it. And everyone for the rest of time reading their books were going to be like, yes, Hitler, what in a galaxy of billions and trillions of people, Hitler still stands head and shoulders above the rest.
Like, it makes sense that in, you know, 2026, we're still talking about Nero on Earth. Like, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
2000 years ago.
That's in like a universe where we've had 108 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all on the same planet. But you consider,
if you believe the Chinese population counts, but go on.
108 billion total.
The Earth has a max 2 billion people on it. Don't tell me that you believe the proper
ever number. Ever existing.
But even then, if you do 2 billion times 6,000 years, so
12 billion total ever.
So 12 billion total.
120 billion.
No, 12 billion total.
I did it.
I just replaced a whole field of anthropology in 30 seconds.
Just do a little. These idiots don't even do simple multiplication.
Just add it up, guys. Come on.
But that, you know, you think, you know, thousands of years in the future, hundreds of thousands of trillions of light years away, and they're still talking about Hitler.
They're still talking about
Hitler. He's going to kill, and someone pointed out, like, 61 billion people dead is ridiculously small for a galactic genocide.
True.
That's still not enough people.
Well, I think in the world, in the universe of Dune, if you have something like the spice and you have the technology of the Guild Navigators and you can travel between stars through gates, then and it costs relatively small resources to get across, you know, large swaths of the galaxy. It would make sense that the numbers would be like, if there's 100 inhabited planets, you know, They're not like
that each have like 5 billion people on, 2 billion people on them.
Exactly. Right. It's like that, that's not that crazy. You know, especially if you think about like, well, no planet is going to be overpopulated if you can just get to another planet super easily, you know, and it doesn't take that much energy. So I think it makes, if people are assuming that you have to travel light years, then yeah, it makes sense that at that scale, there would be way more humans. But it's only 10,000 AD in the world of Dune. It's only 8,000 years from now. It's like, that's not that much time to...
Are we still calculating time the same way?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Who knows?
You should ask the Ixians, or maybe potentially the Tliaxu. I don't know how to say it. I don't like when there's words in the book that you can't say out loud because you always sound like a freaking geek whenever you try to reference it in real life.
It's very frustrating. Yes, it's a good book. You should read it. It's weird.
Dune 3.
Even weirder than the movie. But yes, we're going to answer some questions now. We're going to stop talking about Dune.
No, this is back to our roots, man.
This one is from Crab. I have emailed a local Lutheran church because I want to practice time on this one. Ben called this one organ donor, and it's not about what I thought it was. I want practice time on their organ. The pastor sent two emails back. The first said, thank you for reaching out. I'll forward this to our music director. Please feel welcome to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Nice. Classic. Two, on second thought, please consider coming to church and getting to know us first. Our general rule is our organ is not fit to be a practice organ. It's very delicate and technical. However, it'd be good to meet you in person, see if we can accommodate your request. I don't want to get roped into going to a Lutheran service for the sake of organ. I don't want to be an indifferentist. I didn't state I was Catholic. What's the best way to proceed? My potential email, good evening, Lutheran Church. My name is Redacted, resume. I am a Christian. It is my goal to one day pursue a career in church music and dedicate my life to this beautiful instrument for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. I'm preparing to audition for an undergraduate program in organ next year. I'm trying to seek out as many opportunities to play as many different organs as possible in order to prepare thoroughly. The organ at Redacted Church is the closest tracker organ to my house, so I'm kindly inquiring if there's anything I can do to have the opportunity to practice. I understand the schedule of Lutheran Church is very busy. I understand I'm an unknown person asking a very large favor. However, if this is not possible, I'm grateful for you considering the request. What do you think? Should Crab go to Lutheran Church?
I don't know. I don't think there's
what kind of Lutheran. It depends.
That is true. Are they cracker and juice Lutheran, or are they bread and wine Lutheran?
Yeah.
Because if they're cracker and juice Lutheran, I think you'll be fine. But are if they're bread and wine Lutheran, they might sway you. You know, those evil lies from Rome might start to sound a bit too good to be true.
Are they Lutheran satire Lutherans, or are they that haircut Lutherans? You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's fine to ask, and I think it's reasonable of them to want to meet you and get to know you and have you be part of their community before they let you use their instrument.
They're very expensive, very delicate thing.
Yeah. I also think it's crazy to be like, it's too delicate to practice on. Then how does anybody get good at using it?
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, I mean, I think it's like they don't want you just a random guy like messing with it, you know? Like just pulling the stops.
Right. But I think if you have dainty fingers and you can prove that your touch is light, then I think that maybe they will allow it.
You should walk up to the pastor. You should go to their Lutheran service. It starts at 9:30. So whenever they end at like what, like 11:15. When they're done at 11:15,
the shade, the length of time for the Lutheran service is too esoteric of shade for me.
Cut it to an hour. Get it to an hour. All right. Let's just cut it down. You should walk up to the pastrix and you should gently caress their face so they know that you have the tender touch of an organist.
The tender touch.
And then you just walk up and start going, and then they'll.
I never like it when they do that.
So
sometimes if you go to a church with an organ and you got a organist on it, they'll like do a little number, a little diddly after the recessional, and they'll play like a beautiful song. It's like very thunderous, like usually a conclusion of whatever hymn that was the recessional hymn. But then sometimes they'll do the, and everyone like laughs and claps. And I'm like, that is inappropriate. I don't like that.
We don't want to frank someone. That's the only organ song. Organ is one of those instruments that only has one song. So does on St. Patrick's Day, we were looking up bagpipe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was like, what's the one? My brother was like, what's that one song? that they play? That's just the only song you can play on the bagpipes. What's the only bagpipe song? What's it called?
Amazing Grace.
You know, that was what our coworker said. But it's, no, it's the one that's like, no, it's Scotland the Brave is the one that it's like, you know. Scotland the Brave is the look up Scotland the Brave. It's the bagpipe song. It's the unofficial Scottish national anthem. The organ play, learn, show them you know how to play the one song on the organ, which is the Frankenstein one, or the Oh God Beyond All Praise. That's the other one.
That's a good one. I think you should just go. I think you should do it. But if you don't feel comfortable, then don't. I don't think there's like a clear right or wrong here.
Yeah, your email is great.
Just only play Roman hymns.
Yes.
Don't play any of that Martin Luther written nonsense.
No. Also, don't ask us about emails. That is why God invented ChatGPT.
True.
We're not going to write it for you.
All right, I'm going to pause it here because I need to go help my wife.
Yes, it sounds rough over there in the Stevie household.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Ethan, everyone says they've tried everything.
Okay.
I've tried locking my phone to quit pornography. All guys that I've tried locking my phone down. Mm-hmm. I've tried, but they've never tried getting actual accountability from guys like the guys at thefreedomgroup.co.
I think it's important that people go to thefreedomgroup.co and they sign up for a discovery call so that they can get a part of the group coaching that is in line with Catholic Church teaching, but also in line with best practices for psychology, addiction behavior, all the different things that you need from science to get it out of your brain and to get rid of not just the action of watching pornography, but the craving itself. They can make it so that you don't even like to look it up anymore, that it fills you with disgust. They reprogram it. You like a Clockwork Orange, but it's all above board.
Unlike in Clockwork
Orange. Unlike in A Clockwork Orange, when the government was doing all that stuff illegally. So I think you should go to thefreedomgroup.co. The best part is if you're not free from the craving in a year, they'll work with you for free till you no longer have the craving. So there's really no downside if you desire to go to heaven.
We've already had dozens of guys reach out to us and tell us they've started working with the Freedom Group. They've already seen a lot of success. It's very good. You're not alone. Go find your tribe of men who are going to help you overcome your craving for pornography at thefreedomgroup.co. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles.
I fed my kids to Shai Halud.
I don't remember where we were at in the time of the podcast. I think we may have
been it was maybe 15 minutes.
Okay, cool. All right.
Sorry about that. Put them both to sleep. Super dad.
We can
you're
do.
You're not going to see any reward for it. I will go on unnoticed, unappreciated.
Except for here on this podcast. We can do 2:30s if you want, 2:30 minute pods.
That's perfect. I love it.
That's right. All right. I don't know where. I think we answered the question.
We answered the organ donor question. Give me something with some real teeth. Give me something with real.
Give me something with Billy Billy. All right.
Yeah.
We got.
Mark.
We got
what if it was called Mark Madness and it was just for my buddy Mark?
This one comes from JB. This one is a pro Sacred Spark question, which is good. Okay. Question for the pod and shameless promotion of a certain company. My lobs are too buttery, my steak too juicy. There are currently 14 women who have liked my profiles on the apps.
Wow.
So I have just gone on to
14. Wow, that's a lot.
That's quite a bit. This is a good sign that I am mogging. He's spiking my cord. I'm just kidding. I don't know the meme, so I can't really do it. I've been expecting the apps to be bad and suck out my soul, but Sacred Spark actually has 11 of the 14 women. Wow, Sacred Spark is carrying. That's so good. Should I try to chat with more women as long as I'm not officially GFBF with one, or should I just stick to one? No, dude. You got a good spread, all right? You're diversified, all right?
So what's his question? I don't understand his problem. What's the problem?
Should I start eliminating? Should I start like drilling it down to one? You're on Zoom dates, man.
Have you ever seen Crazy Stupid Love?
I have. It's such a good movie.
It's a great movie. I rewatched it recently. There's a scene where Cal, Steve, played by Steve Carell, finally gets his confidence and he goes out on a bunch of dates with a bunch of women and he sleeps with them. I'm not advocating you do this. But your life for the next 2 weeks needs to be like that montage where you need to be wearing like three sweaters on top of each other, which was apparently the style in 2010 when that movie was made.
That was how you look good. Yeah, that was Ryan Gosling's style advice to this man was to.
I do forget. I mean, I knew it was a funny movie, but there's Ryan Gosling is just so funny in that movie.
When
he pulls out the Velcro wallet and he like takes a step back, it's just perfect. It's just such a funny. Anyway, nobody else could have done it.
It's so good. No, but it was true. Like when we were I did High School Musical when mm-hmm. I was in like that community theater kids production.
Were you Corbin Blue?
I was not Chicken Corbin Blue. But the. That was one thing they told us was like, all right, it's the mid-2000s. You have to layer. That was the thing. Like plaid t-shirt unbuttoned mm-hmm. on top of a solid red t-shirt. Like that was bright colors layered. That was the style back then. Mm. Which is kind of like how kids today are doing like 2016 parties.
Yeah, they don't really get it.
Yeah.
For 2016 parties, you'd have to wear clothes that would just objectively look bad. Like 2016 is too close.
Remember the mannequin challenge? That's all the 2016. No, the 2016 parties are funny because it's dudes wearing like bright pink blazers with chubbies.
That did happen. Yes, but the girls always get it wrong. The girls would be mortified to wear what they were wearing in 2016.
Correct.
They just could not do it. Guys are like, guys, I think from any era, it's like, you want me to wear JNCO jeans? Hell yeah. Do you want me to wear three collared shirts and pop all of the collars? Hell yeah. There's no fashion that guys are like, I would never do this.
I would never.
What was the question? Yeah, you need to go on 14 dates, I think. I think that's what needs to happen.
Wear different hats.
It'll be like a chess simul where you're going from table to table and having one piece of conversation and giving them 20 minutes to think about what their response will be before you come back. Just go on a bunch of dates. You don't have to eliminate. You eliminate by going out on the dates. Maybe you'll take multiple women on multiple dates. Who cares? What are you, poor? What are you, broke? Don't have the money?
You don't have to pay anything to go on another Zoom date.
That's true. Go on Zoom dates. Are all these women from other parts of the country? Did he say that?
He did not say.
Yeah. Well, if they're all local, just go to the park. Get some ice cream. I think you have no problems here. I think you should take all these women out on dates.
Yes.
If you can. And don't try to eliminate it beforehand. You are literally swimming in it.
It actually behooves you because then you don't do the mm-hmm. thing that guys do where they get like really caught up and like texting one girl and they like kind of put all their eggs in one basket.
You have options. Before
there's any commitment.
You could probably seriously date two or three of them and have multiple girlfriends for 6 months before any of them found out.
Trust me.
I do know. If I know about one thing, it's about talking to multiple women at once before I was married.
What we all know about Ethan is that he was a hot commodity. The ladies.
I was.
Tell the Tinder story. Tell the Tinder what? Story.
How much of a ladies man I was. So when I went to my fraternity's sneak, which is when the pledge class quote unquote sneaks out, which doesn't really work when you don't live in a house. Like we didn't have a house. We were just a fraternity of men.
Yeah.
Because they're usually it's like you sneak out from your pledge duties or whatever, you know, and you go, but we didn't really have pledge duties. We didn't have a house. So it was just like a time where we all left.
We all went on a trip.
We tried to go to the University of Iowa because we heard it was a great party school. The Delta Chi chapter at Iowa, I will go on record saying this, sucks. I hate those guys. They are not cool. We had a bad time. I talked to the president because I was the pledge class president. And so I talked to the president. I was like, hey, we want to come for the sneak. We're really excited. And he's like, oh, awesome. We'll have a party for you guys when you get here. Yeah. Even if it was just like the other brothers, you know, it's like, oh, we'll have some guys. We roll up to this house. We knock on the door. It is dark. We see no one. There is a pool table flipped over with a leg ripped off. There is a trash can full of Bud Light cans. There's mac and cheese.
Before you showed up.
There's mac and cheese everywhere. It is, and we can't, there's not a single soul. And we're supposed to sleep there. So we're all like finding couches around the main floor of this place. The fire alarm starts going off in this house. and we like don't know how to turn it off. And nobody seems to be around to do anything about it. So we're going like door to door. And it's like, hey, we're from K-State Delta Chi's. And they're like, F off, F you, what are you doing? You know, they're screaming at us and they're like, we don't really care. Could you turn the fire alarm off? And they're like screaming, F you, like we're going door to door and like nobody's helping us. And so we had to sleep. This is where Ashton Kutcher was in a fraternity. So we saw Ashton Kutcher's composite photo. So we were just sleeping with Ashton. And there's like, they must've had a beach theme party. Cause there's just a bunch of inflatables, like palm trees. Like that's what we're sleeping on. It was miserable. So the next night we went to Iowa State. We had a much better time with the Iowa State was like, F those guys, they suck. You're gonna have a great time with us. And we did have a great time with them. It was way more fun.
University of Iowa first?
We went to the University of Iowa first in, Des Moines or Iowa City, wherever it was. And then, I don't know. Please, Iowa, stay out of the chat. I don't know where your freaking colleges are. Then we went to Ames, and Ames rocked. And I went to church. I was the only person that got up and went to church on Sunday in Ames. And I had to ask if it was a Catholic church because it was so badly designed, and there were boomers everywhere. I was like, is this? So the story Patrick wanted me to tell is when we were driving up to Iowa, as I set my Tinder radius to the max. It was like 250 miles. And for the whole like 7 hour drive, I just swiped right the whole time. I think I got 4 matches total across the entire weekend.
Yeah.
And the other guy that I was with, his nickname was Puff. You can imagine why.
Because he's a big dude.
He got like, no.
He's ripped. He's ripped.
No.
Oh. Oh, because he smoked.
There you go.
Got it.
He got, I think, 250 some matches over that same time period. So it really did a lot for my self-esteem.
I imagine you can't do that on Tinder anymore. You can't.
No. They patched that. They make it so that you have to pay money if you want to
swipe
just randomly swipe right on every single girl in a 500 mile radius.
So, you know, that's probably better for humanity if they.
Yeah.
If they do that. Anyway,
we should pay women.
We should pay all. We should pay to access women. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
What have we done? Oh. You're in a volunteer brothel. Anyway, but not on Catholic dating apps like our sponsor, Sacred Spark.
Oh,
apparently,
true.
You can get 11 matches on for Sacred free. Spark. So if you were wondering about downloading Sacred Spark, go ahead. Apparently, it works. Ethan, everyone says they've tried everything.
They have.
Everyone says they tried everything. I've tried finding a girlfriend. I've tried finding a boyfriend. And what they mean by everything is they went to the Knights of Columbus pancake breakfast.
Not a lot of women.
Not a lot of women at the Knights of Columbus pancake breakfast. But what they haven't tried, is Sacred Spark. They have not gone to sacredspark.app and downloaded Sacred Spark for free to try and find them. We just had someone write in and said they found 11 matches on Sacred Spark. A guy. Found 11 matches on Sacred Spark. Usually, imagine how many matches a woman would find.
Dozens.
Dozens, certainly.
I think you should download Sacred Spark because I think it's a good app that fosters true connection over just superficial you know, are you hot or are you not? And that's
and aren't
what
we
I
trying
think
to get
good.
Connected in the year of our Lord.
We're just
2026.
Trying to get connected.
Thank you to Sacred Spark for sponsoring this episode of Pro Apostles. All right, question from Silly Billy: is it worth calling off further dates if there is no spark or strong feelings, no sacred spark, maybe? If it's not an issue, how would you recommend I lead and be direct in the early stages so I don't come off as wishy-washy or uncertain? Context: I asked out my church crush. We've been going on a few dates, plus some impromptu hangouts. We happened to be together. After the last one, I wasn't sure if it was going anywhere. Because of somewhat awkward silence, she seemed uninterested, and I felt like we might just be friends. But before asking her out again, she suggested plans for next week. We have a lot in common. On paper, we share similar worldviews and a faith that I think would be a good long-term opportunity and compatibility. But I sometimes feel a disconnect in person. Friends say I'm overthinking things. I'm not taking things slow enough. I think my perspective might stem from my last relationship moving too fast. Curious what the Bro Apostles dating industrial complex thinks about this.
I don't like it when people let external factors define their situation.
Yeah, man.
I just feel this way because of my last relationship. No, bro, you just feel that way. Like, it's not like it's okay to feel like you're not connecting with someone. It's also okay to continue to go on dates in the hopes that you will have a better connection down the line.
Correct.
You know, like, you got to stop this attribution. Oh, to the past relationship. You're going to ruin you're going to ruin something that could be good because you're so wrapped up.
No hrefs. Attribution. Never mind. I'm trying to do it.
Go ahead. Do an SEO joke on the podcast.
No tracking links.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about UTM codes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about slugs.
Love a good slug. All right. Continue giving good dating advice.
No, I was just going to say, if you let your past relationship define all your future relationships, then you're never going to be happy. And you're letting that relationship rule over. You're basically letting that girl dictate how all of the rest of your relationship with women go. And that's not probably what you want, I would imagine. So stop this narrative of like, oh, it's too fast or too slow. There's no such thing as fast or slow. I think you can get married within 3 months of knowing someone and it be normal. I think it can take years, and that's also normal. There's no such thing as fast or slow. Just go. You need to be living more on instinct. You're living too much in your brain.
Yes.
When man dates, he needs to become kind of an animal. Like, you need to become a bit of a ravenous, hungry wolf. Not to consume the woman, but you need to have like this drive, this desire where you're sniffing out the path and you're just following it because you're hungry. You don't need to, the wolf doesn't stop and be like, am I pursuing this food too fast? No, it's not how the wolf thinks.
Your emotions betray you and your brain betrays you in ways that you don't realize.
Yes.
It's Your brain thinks it's smarter than it is, and you kind of like trick yourself into thinking. So mm-hmm. People do this all the time. They come up with rationalizations for irrational actions, and we kind of retcon our decisions to map like, I just don't want to do this because I'm afraid, mm-hmm. or I don't want to do this because I'm angry, or I want to do this because I'm angry, stuff like that. It's you gotta stop psychoanalyzing yourself and start. You know, just where does self-knowledge come from, Ethan? Does it come from clinically analyzing yourself like you're a subject in a lab, or does it come from a full gift of self? Where does it come from?
Whatever Freud says, that's what I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that self-knowledge comes from, never mind. I'm not going to do that Freud stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think I don't know what it is with men these days. What you should be when you first meet a woman, it's okay if you don't feel this way, but like, you should just kind of be operating. You should be like the Sky King, you know, you should be doing a barrel roll. You should be stealing a plane. You know, you should be kind of like, do you know how to fly a plane? No, but are you up there? Yes. You know what I mean? That's what you should be doing. Not this, like,
what a legend.
Truly a legend. I watched a video about him the other day. I cried. I cry every time I watch it. I don't know why I watch it every time, but I also cry every time. There's something about it.
You just don't get it. It's, you know, the you don't get it until you get it. Yes, you should be like the Sky King. Don't care. Just steal the plane. Fly in the sky. Maybe land it, though.
Land it instead of crashing it and dying. That would be good.
Yeah. One last question.
Yay.
Okay. Thoughts on
Texas A&M just beat St. Mary's. I am winning my local bracket pool.
Nice.
I am feeling good.
Good. Good for you.
I just want you to know that I'm doing well.
I didn't put together a bracket, so.
Oh.
Thoughts on reaching out to a mutual acquaintance about being interested in her friend? I keep getting interrupted away from talking to this beautiful young woman from church. I didn't get her number, so I didn't get her number and be direct. Maybe the mutual friend can pull some strings, whisper in some ears, or should I just try to find another opportunity? Ask her for her number.
Yeah, what are we doing? What has possessed the young men of our country? Go watch some clavicular streams, unironically, and learn how to handle yourself.
People are very will act good. Hey, do you have Betsy's number? Yeah, sure. Sent. Done.
Hey, I'd like to give Betsy a call. Would it be okay if I gave Betsy a call?
Hey, Betsy, Giselle gave me your number. Want to go get some coffee? And you're done.
Betsy and Giselle, huh?
Yeah.
Sound like names made up by Russians to infiltrate an American university.
Yes, my name is Giselle. Yes, my name is Giselle Smith.
I can only do a Chinese accent. I'm at the point now where I do the Chinese accent with my kids so often that I can't do any other accent.
I was getting my oil changed, and the one of the technicians was Asian. Everyone else was like, it's really funny. We live in a different world, but these guys, one of them made like an Asian joke, and for the entire time they were changing my oil, they were doing like a very thick, like Cantonese, like, we change your oil now, like to each other in front of me. Yes. And I was like, this is amazing. Yes. I love this. Can you please hand me the oil? It was so funny, dude. I was like, this is great. This is what America used to be. All right. We used to be cool. We used to be okay with this.
Yeah, dude.
People talk funny.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Dude, speaking of Chinese people, I recently rewatched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
And that film starts in, I think, either Hong Kong or Shanghai. I don't know the difference. Please don't write in. But then there's a little character named Short Round who is Dr. Jones. You know, he's always doing that little...
He's doing that little thing.
He's doing a little thing. But I watched that movie. I was like, this movie is really bad.
Like poorly made?
No, just pretty much for like the last 10 years, I've only watched Raiders and The Last Crusade. Like I just haven't ever bothered with Temple of Doom.
Sure.
And then I watch it. It's like frightening. It is. I was watching it. I was like getting uncomfortable by the pagan rituals that were happening, like the human sacrifice that was happening in the movie. I was like, I can't imagine being just like a mom in 1984 and you took your kids to see Raiders of the Lost Ark and you're like, oh, that was, you know, there were some scary parts, but it was a pretty good movie. And then you go and you take them to see Temple of Doom and they like strap a slave into a cage and they lower him down into lava after taking his heart out. It's like, whoa.
All right.
And then you read the Wikipedia page and it's like, oh, it was darker because George Lucas and Steven Spielberg were both going through a divorce at the time. It's like, I don't know. I've been around divorce. I've seen divorce. Nobody has delved deeply into subcontinental pagan rituals before.
I'm going to cut a guy's heart out.
You know, it's like, I've seen guys buy sports cars. You know, I've seen women flirt with the pool boy, but I've not seen a deep dive into
I've seen women
cultic demon
I've seen
worship.
I've seen women suggest their coworker buy a sexy pharaoh outfit. That's, but I've never seen that. This we have seen, I have that. Seen that
I have seen that
first time ChatGPT ever summarized one of the questions.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What episode was that? Go look that up. That one was funny.
We love AI on the podcast.
Artificial intelligence. Well, right. Well, ladies and artificial intelligence, we're done.
She bonus on my cast till I Patreon.
Yep. If you would like, I think we're caught up, so that the next episode of the bonus podcast is going to be the one we're about to record. So
no one knows.
What's it going to be about?
Nobody knows.
Who knows?
Nobody knows. Who knows?
But unless you're a patron, in which case you're going to find out in just a couple of days. If you pay $10 a month, you get access to all of our Patreon episodes and all the cool stuff that we have in the back catalog. So go to bropostles.com/Patreon or patreon.com/bropostles. Either one will get you there. And you know what to do.
All right. Thank you to the Freedom Group and Sacred Spark for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles.